Philippians chapter 4 verse 9. Now, it's extremely important that you understand the importance of the office of the teacher, so that you don't miss out on why God chose me. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, there is a truth. The truth is this, that I remember when I was teaching some time back, I told you that knowledge has two ends, and you have to choose one of those two ends. One end of knowledge is information, the other is wisdom. If you come here thinking you're just going to get information, you'll miss out, because we don't give information. The end is so that you might have wisdom and apply it to your life. I personally made a personal decision in my life never to teach something I'm not trying to apply in my life. Praise the Lord. And so Philippians 4:9 says something crucial. I was sitting with a few people the other day, and I was explaining to them that this scripture says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And he says, and the God of peace shall be with you. This scripture breaks down four ways a person can receive from God, and so therefore be able to transition themselves into a place of doing. Okay, therefore, the first is learning, which many people are accustomed to. They want to learn things all the time, want to be able to learn. But because you live in time, you won't be able to learn everything. Learning is a certain function. Like when you've come here, there are things you will learn, there are things you will understand. But your spirit will get them. Amen. There are things that will bypass your mind and enter your spirit. That means they transition the learning element. Praise the Lord. You can still receive without learning, according to the Spirit. Okay? So the first action is learning. The second is receiving. Receiving is an impartation. You just have to be in the atmosphere and get an impartation. I said the disciples were around Jesus. He never laid hands, but then they operated in power. Because you just have to be around the right atmosphere. I believe in spiritual osmosis. Praise the Lord. I believe in spiritual osmosis, which brings me to the next thing. He says, the things that you have seen, there is a place in the spirit. Actually, he says, the things that you have heard, there's a place in the spirit where all you have to do is hear something. You don't have to understand it. The Bible says these things have been fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. That's why we have to be careful what we say before you, because you can be transitioned into them just by hearing.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus said, these things have been fulfilled in your hearing. Which brings me to the last part, which says, the things that you have seen in me. There are things in the spirit you don't need to hear, you just need to see, and your transition, you receive an impartation. Elijah told Elisha, if you see me, go. You see me, go. That's why we're extremely careful. There are things we can do here, the things that are demonstrated in other places, and the demonstrations are chosen. Because if you see it as entertainment, you might miss out your chance to enter.
Amen.
That's why men of wisdom don't do magic. They're not here to entertain you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's not the message. It's just important for you to have that. Praise the living God.
Amen.
Now, it's important you understand, and I pray we get where I want us to get. Anyway, let's just go ahead. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 104 and verse 2, it says that God surrounds himself, or he wraps himself in light. Another version says unapproachable light. God wraps himself in unapproachable light. Now please understand that there are dimensions of himself that he presents to men. When he presents them to men in general. Please understand that. Well, Psalms 104 verse 2 says, who covers thyself with light as with a garment? It says God covers himself with light as a garment. Isaiah 45 verse 15 says, actually the prophet is speaking and the Spirit of God is speaking through him, and he says, you are the God who hides yourself. It says, verily thou art a God that hidest thyself. You must understand that not everything about God can be found just like that. God voluntarily hides himself. There are things he hides. That when it comes to the redemptive works of Christ, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to God presenting how much he loves you and what he did for you, He doesn't need to hide. He comes openly and just reveals it. But then there are things that are so deep, things that are so intimate, that God hides. Why does he hide? Because the Holy Spirit is like a woman. That's why in scripture he's given the connotation of a woman. Okay? He's like a woman. In the very sense that you don't just come in and say, show me thy glory. Prove your love. Oh. Okay, now you're waking up, yeah? Praise the Lord. Eh? Okay? A normal woman wouldn't just say yes on the right go, eh? Unless she has received a prophetic word. Say amen. But anyway, the Spirit of the Lord, and I've already said that the Spirit of the Lord loves us all, but he doesn't trust us all. Trust is built with relationship. You hear me? Trust is revealed, is built with relationship. The most important thing when it comes to the aspect of a relationship with God, actually in any relationship, is not what you give, it's not what you hear, it's not what you say. It's time. Time is the most important factor in any relationship, even with God. I've always told people that if you do not want to be there with him, neither does he. If you go before God and you don't want to be there, God doesn't want to be there either, because you don't want to be there. It has to be mutual. And I don't even know how to say it. So you see, the thing is that time is a very crucial factor, and God needs your time. There are things that God hides and he shrouds and keeps that people who have gone in. Now listen, we're so used to corporate fellowship, which is okay. You're used to corporate prayer, which is okay. There are things that God does not do corporately. There are things that God has hidden for you particularly. There are things the Bible talks about in Psalms 91 as the secret place. There are things that are kept in secret place. The secret place in the Bible and in real life, it exists. There's an actual place called the secret place. That place is a spiritual place that very few find. That's why the Bible says, if you seek me with all your heart, you shall find me. Please understand, we don't seek to find God because he's not there. God is within us. We seek to know him. Okay? We seek for knowledge, for a deeper knowledge, a deeper understanding of him. Please understand that the most glorious things, the greatest things, the most powerful things in Christianity are found in the secret place. Are you with me? There are things I have found in the secret place. I have found personally. There are things hidden in there that God can only say to you. You will go have a partnership, go and pray with other people, and he will wait for the people to leave. Just so that he can tell you personally. Please understand that the secret place is different from Mount Zion. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 22, it says, for you have come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. Then he goes on, what does he say? A heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. And he goes on and goes on. At Mount Zion, you will find angels, saints. You find things there. In the secret place, it's only you and God. No angels there. And I know what I'm talking about. There are things God speaks to you in that dimension. There's a dimension of God you see that no man can reveal to you. There are people who have reduced the relationship that they have to God to reading the Bible, the book, and to listening to men of God. You need to understand that reading the Bible and listening to men of God are just stimulators to an end. What is the end? The end is an encounter. Praise the Lord. The end of the word of God, the end of listening to a man of God like you're doing now, is so that you can have a personal encounter. That you might enter therein and the Lord can tell you, now this is between you and I. I have found that there are things he will tell you that never, they will never be for the public ear. Never. Because the moment you release certain things that were meant for you, they will stumble certain people, yet they are truth to you. I'm telling you, some men are called cults, some men are called liars, because they failed to keep that which God had told them. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. Okay? There are things deep inside that place. It's a secret. The secret place is a spiritual place, but it can also be manifested physically. You can find a place that is just between you and your boo. The Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. There are certain dimensions, there are secrets. I have people, there's someone yesterday who hunted me down in a good way. They hunted me down until they found me, and they had a number of questions. Now, I have a very profound gift, and I won't say it, I'll boast in the Lord. There's a gift that I have that is profound. It was given to me. It's the ability to open understanding. Amen. That I have in measure. And so I sat with this person who had gone from preacher to preacher to preacher to preacher and landed on me. And so I like the statement that they made. They said, I've got more in this 1 hour than I have in my entire Christian life. Now, please understand, the reason why I'm saying that is that you need to know what you have here. I'm not here to give you information. I'm here to open understanding. There's a dimension of God you will look from me for and not find, because God has hid it in your secret place. You won't find an apostle there. You don't find a prophet there. You don't find angels there. It's just you and God. Praise the Lord. That's why you must press in. There are things that God purposely hides. We have got to stop being lazy. There's a dimension of God, the end of every single... I was telling someone the other day that we as Christians in this period of grace, we emphasize one thing, that preaching the gospel absent of experience is literally preaching stories. So if you have experience, if you've gone through something, if you can demonstrate it, then you can say that, listen, I believe in prophecy, but this is the thing. Let me show it to you. Okay? There's a certain level of experience that comes by that. But there's an experience that comes by as a result of spiritual battles. There's an experience of seeing angels, dreams, visions. There's an experience of spiritual battles. Please understand that you will find a man having seen no visions, having seen no dreams, having prophesied nothing, but every battle that he has faced, he has succeeded. And you find that he has an authority over him, and you ask how. I thought that absent of demonstration, a person is void. Praise the Lord. Now, I pray you're with me, because I need you to understand that when you have an encounter, this is the end. Two things happen with an encounter. I'll mention just one. When you have an encounter with God, you get this one particular thing. Rest comes with encounters. Rest comes with encounters. Let me give you an example. If I enter the spirit world, or if I have an experience with God, with a man of God, you can meet a man of God and meet God. Yes? And walk away convinced that what you encountered was not the man, but God himself. Those are encounters. So you encounter the person, and when you have a real, genuine encounter, it attaches rest to you. That means, if I had an experience where I found that actually prophecy is real, prophets are real, that actually in the spirit realm, God can show me the future. And then one man of God, who is maybe 60, 70 years old, stands up, writes on YouTube or whatever, makes a video on YouTube, writes on Facebook, or makes an announcement and says, you know what, prophets don't exist. Listen, irrespective of his stature, irrespective of how long he has walked with God, irrespective of how big his congregation is, if I've had an encounter of what's real. Now, the moment you think you have a truth, listen, the moment you think you've captured a truth, say for example, tithe, and a man of God you honor, say 5 years from now, stands up and says, this type of thing ended in the Old Testament. And you get shaken. You never really understood the principle. Because you are basing yourself on the opinions of men. That's why I'm telling you, you must have a personal encounter. There are things that I have experienced personally of God that I've never told anyone, but I will die believing. Die believing them. Why? Because I have seen them and received rest of them and seen their results. I assure you, for example, there is no glory, no matter what you attach to it, there is no glory to poverty. I will die believing that. Die believing that. No matter how much you say, I'm looking, I'm trying to make myself first class, I'm trying to what? I serve a God who's first class. Leave me alone. Press in. Press in. Press in. Praise the living God. Now, power, I've said it before, if you want to see power in your life, it's revealed in three ways. First, power comes as a result of intimacy. There are men having had intimacy with God. There's a power that flows through the system. You see a person operating in power because he has intimacy. He crossed beyond the realm of corporate and entered the secret. And God told him, let me show you how to do something, but tell no one. There's a power that comes as a result of intimacy. Secondly, there's a power that comes as a result of having mastered spiritual principles. So you have mastery. Galatians 4 verse 2. It says, I'll start from verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all. Verse 2. Verse 2 says, but is under tutors and governors until the appointed, until the time appointed of the Father. What this scripture actually means is that as long as you're still a spiritual baby, there are limitations to what you can do. You still have tutors and governors, spiritually, even naturally. There are limits you cannot go. You will speak and decree a thing. You will say, you will quote a scripture. Thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established. You will decree, nothing will happen. You're still under tutors and governors. Because the Lord limits the authority you have. Because if you still have an anger problem, someone might annoy you and you say, head off. Okay? So if you want to let go of the tutors and governors, you must grow. And this is why I'm telling you, press into the spiritual place. Press into the secret place. Many of the things that people come to me for. Yesterday, someone came to me and I actually told him, there's a reward that the Lord has given to you. And the moment he sat down, he said, I'm not coming for prophecy, man of God. I have questions and the Lord told me you're the one. I said, now because you have sought me as a teacher, I'm giving you bonus. So I prophesied. Now, many of you come to the person. Now, listen, it's as silly as going to a prophet for teaching. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, he who receives a prophet in the name of prophet receives a prophet's reward. The action there is a spiritual law. It means that every person that is in an office, you must receive them as they are to receive their true gift. Yes? Yes. But it's not bad to ask for prophets. Yeah? Okay? So, there's a power that comes of having mastered spiritual things. You've gained mastery. You know the laws of the spirit, which are number. Then there is a power that comes as a result of having sat under a person who's got that power. So, as I've said before, that power comes into your life, not because you did something, but because you're sitting under someone. There are covenants that God makes with certain men who cross certain levels in the spirit. That means that any, for example, a man having been intimate with God can reach a place in the spirit where God tells him, from now on, anyone around you will just find results flowing. And so what happens is, that's why some of you will find yourself, you go to certain fellowships, certain ministries, you bring a person for the first time, come and sit, they didn't understand anything, but they have a testimony tomorrow. Because there was a covenant made with that man at that level, that any man who sits under him will just flow. But then there is a point where it reaches, that power is limited, because there's a line beyond which God expects you to pursue him yourself. Too many things at once, no? Huh? Kali, I have so many things to say. Every day, I was telling someone the other day that every single day, I kid you not, God is my witness. Every day, I learn something new that I did not know the day before. It has been part of my life for almost the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Every single day, God teaches me something and I'm like, what? Those days, I used to express myself in a different way. When God release something upon me, I'd write on Facebook, oh my God, if I could go back to my former 2008, 2009, I'd write, OMG, guys would ask what? Okay? But nowadays, usually what I do, if I'm alone at home, I was telling someone, if I get a revelation, which is very, very often, I'll get a revelation, I'll stand up and walk around in circles. My wife now is used. Eh? First time, she'll say, what are you doing? Okay? But, so that I have found that having pressed in into intimacy, there are certain things that God has revealed to me personally. Now, so those three powers, the power that comes as a result of intimacy, the power that comes as a result of mastery, and the power that comes as a result of covering. Notice that the animals that entered Noah's ark entered a covering of Noah. If they had come out of the ark, imagine if they had come out and said, other animals, eh? As time went on, they gave their story and said, you know, I was bad news, you know? You're talking about something, but you entered someone else's covering, eh? That's how it is nowadays, eh? Mostly. Now, it's important for you to master a thing. The moment a person fears something, fear is a sign you don't know. Fear is a sign of lack of knowledge. When a person has understood something in the spirit, that's why the Bible says the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. The moment something happens in your life and you fear, you don't really have it. You haven't understood how it came. And yet in reality, the truth is this, that anything that you receive of the spirit cannot be taken away. No one, no spirit, no demon can take it away. But you can say amen to that, and as you, it's fulfilled in your hearing. Amen? Yes. So, over time, fear begins to translate. There's no disease God cannot heal. There's no marriage or wedding budget God cannot meet. Praise the living God. Praise the Lord. Okay? Now, hear me carefully. That when it comes to the power that comes as a result of intimacy, the reason why it's extremely crucial is because if you try to master things and you master the laws and you master the things of the spirit and you learn how to get results, absent of intimacy, power can corrupt you. The insulator to corruption by power is intimacy with God. I know what I'm talking about. Okay, permission to go deeper. The devil, the enemy, the what I'm going to go into, if I feel like you're wandering off, I'll just change. I'm telling you, it's extremely crucial. Because the Bible says we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. We're not ignorant. But apparently there are so many people who are ignorant that this world that we live in is shrouded in mysteries. There are things that it is full of. Things that God himself has hidden. But the world is also shrouded in darkness. Darkness in the spirit realm is not the absence of light. It's the absence of God. Okay? But the Bible does say in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2. It says, they who walk in darkness have seen a great light. That's what scripture says. Now, you are supposed to be those people. You. Let me mess you up a little. You see, there are dimensions of prayer. I think I'm going ahead of myself. The Lord has checked me. Now, so I'm going to get there. There are devices of the enemy. Enemy has devices. There are methods he uses. Now, I don't want you to be ignorant. Today, I'm going to teach you just, I'm going to open up just one. I pray you will understand it. Okay? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And I want you to understand this. I want you to understand this extremely importantly, because this is speaking to the current situation this country is in. It won't be direct, but if you catch it, you catch it. Okay? I found over time that the revelations that God gives to a prophet and the revelations God gives to a teacher and to an apostle, all speaking to a similar thing, but in different ways. Okay. Anyway, so the first are principalities. Now hear me carefully. Principalities, as you know, principalities are princes. Now, the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 12, take me to verse 4. Actually, okay, let's go 4, 5, 6, 7. I want to teach a little. Let's see. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her children as soon as it was born. Quick one. Leave it there. Go to verse 5. Listen. Deliverance happens in a number of ways. Deliverance in scripture happens in a number of ways. There's a deliverance that comes as a result of prayer. You can pray, press in, and the Lord delivers you. We know according to scripture that there's a deliverance that comes as a result of prayer and fasting. Jesus says this kind cannot go without prayer and fasting. And that's not just aligning to just demons. One day we shall touch that. Then there's a deliverance that comes as a result of knowledge. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11 verse 9 that just are delivered by knowledge. Sometimes there's something that is binding you because you don't know. You're ignorant. Then lastly, there's a deliverance that comes. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 12, 13, it says, for by a prophet, what does it say? By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet, it was preserved. There's a deliverance that comes not just by a prophet, but by the prophetic. You hear me? That was just a by the way, because I need you to understand, you may the Lord help you discern which one you need. Because when a person denies the prophetic or the prophets in this time and age, there's a certain deliverance they'll never get. Okay, we shall touch that on another day. I meet them every day, every day. So, and it says, and she brought forth a man child, I'm reading Revelation 12:5, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God. Take me to verse 7. It says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Verse 8. And it says, and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Now please understand, when it comes to spiritual entities in the heavenlies, when it comes to the devil and his minions, when it comes to them, according to what happened here before time, when they were thrown out of heaven, they had no place. No place. Yes? Important you get this. The next verse, verse 9, it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. He's the ancient serpent, older than you might know. And it says, called the devil. And devil is not his name, neither is Satan. Eh? They are titles. Okay? Which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. Where was he cast out into? The earth. Even when he fell on the earth, as long as Adam was on earth before the fall, Satan and his minions still had no place. Extremely important you get what I'm saying here. Satan then got a place the day the earth was given over to him by the fall of man. Now, when he got that place, that's when principalities now and all these other things came into existence. You understand what I'm saying? Because before that, there was no place. They had zero place. They were literally roaming around second heaven, visiting earth, roaming around second heaven. No authority. Now, because this earth was given to men, this realm is the realm of men. No spirit, divine or demonic, can operate here absent of men accepting. Now, please understand that when it comes to things like principalities, principalities are territory creatures. They are actually fallen angels that focus on territory. Now, I've told the truth here before, that there is no country on the face of the earth that was ever formed absent of the involvement of spiritual beings. Because spiritual beings guard territories. When you see the UN or whatever announcing a new nation, please understand that some angels have been involved. Praise the Lord. So there's these principalities, these chaps that are up there, fallen angels that capture territories. Their focus is territory. Now what they do is this, and you need to know this, because the moment I feel someone is feeling scary, no, you shouldn't fear these things. Yeah. Now, these principalities, their biggest desire is territory. They are obsessed with territory. If you read the book of Daniel, the prince of Persia fought against Michael and his angels. Michael is the prince of Israel. All right? Now, principalities are obsessed with territories and expanding them. Now, to get territory on earth, they need a man. Oh, Lord, I pray you get this. Because I'm speaking to this nation. In a very sense, to get authority on earth, a principality, to get a territory, they need a man. Now, not just any man. Please understand that men are distinguished. Not all men are the same. You understand? Not all men are the same. Do you know that all of us when we are born, there are things that you are graced with. There's something you have, there's something you have, there's something you have, there's something you have. It's called being graced for something. When you're graced on something, even the levels of being graced differ. There are some people who are born at rank of prophet. Now, please understand that it's not because God is... There are ranks in the spirit. There are ranks upon men. Men are distinguished. When spirits want to operate on earth, they don't just look for any man. They look for men who are ranked. Whether those men know it or not. So here's what happens. Am I boring you? No. Here's what happens, and this is the understanding the Lord himself gave it to me. Here's what happens. What they do is, on earth here, there are certain men who are born at different ranks. There are people born into the fivefold. The distinguishings of men are threefold. First, there's a distinguishing or a distinction that comes as a result of ordination. being ordained before you came onto this earth. There's a distinction that comes with that, by that. Ordination means what God assigned and called you to do before you came onto this earth. Men are distinguished by ordination. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5, before you were formed in your mother's belly, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And there was an ordination. Jeremiah was ordained prophet. There are people in their mother's bellies ordained prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostle. Yes? By that distinction, there are people who are not ordained those fivefold. And by ordination, the people in the fivefold outrank those who don't. Just by ordination. Why? Because according to scripture, the fivefold equips the saints. A businessman does not equip saints. Unless he's an apostolic businessman. Alright? So there's a rank that comes just because by virtue of God putting a fivefold on you. Pap! Just by that, you outrank a person who isn't. Okay? So someone else is called maybe into the ministry of helps, and someone is called into the fivefold. The one in the fivefold ranks higher than the one in helps. It's a spiritual law. The next distinction is a distinction that comes as a result of service. The next distinction is service. Hebrews chapter 12. I believe it's 28 to 29. It says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Verse 29 says, for God, our God, is a consuming fire. Now, there's a service where Paul is referring to here, serving God acceptably. There is a rank that a person receives, having discovered their call, that by mere service and being true to their call, they outrank someone who isn't. That someone can be an apostle who is not serving as God wanted him to. Eh? And a minister of helps who's doing exactly what God told them to do. She outranks him. Okay. Okay, an apostle who was called to an entire nation, and a minister who was just called to serve in a ministry. Every day they wake up, come do the same thing. There's nothing powerful about what they're doing. But in the spirit, they get what we call the action of rewards. Rewards are given according to service. Works are important. Listen, you did not get saved because of works. But to get rewards in the spirit, there are works needed. Are you with me? So someone who has been faithful to their particular call, huh? And someone who hasn't, this one, when they stand before God, God will say, well done. Irrespective of this one was apostle, prophet, what? Are you with me? There's a distinction first by ordination, a distinction secondly by service. Then thirdly, there's a distinction by intimacy. This one is extremely important. When a man has pressed in into the spirit and captured the heart of God, that man, whether he has a ministry, whether you know him or not, in the spirit he outranks any other man who is not intimate with God. Those are men, like I've said, who can show up, he looks like a normal congregant, but when he speaks, he says, I bless you, and it comes to pass. And you say, never nay, are you a prophet, you teacher? No, the Lord actually called me to just I get what I'm saying? Yeah? I need you to understand this, eh? That you see, the way the spiritual realm operates is this. Let me help the ladies a little. Ladies, listen. Just by mere virtue, the ministry or the life of a woman is divided into three major things that the Lord desires before you leave this earth. The heart of a wife, the heart of a mother, and the heart of ministry. Those three. The heart of a wife, the heart of a mother, the heart of ministry. Though the distinctions are different depending on the lady. Are you with me? Yes. Unless you're not called to get married, that's different. But those three define a lady. For the man, it's the reciprocal. As you find, the heart of a husband, the heart of a father, and the heart of ministry. Now, unfortunately, what most people do, what most ladies, actually, I always have an issue with this. They get married. The Bible says, thy desire shall be for your husband. Rabbi, I want to get married. I want to get married. Release. You receive your husband. He comes. He proposes. You get married. Now, but you have an unction upon you, said to be a worshiper. Usually, for most ladies, they die in wife and mother and forget ministry. Now, please understand, it's extremely important that you get this.
All three are extremely crucial to summarize what your purpose is here on earth. The same is true for the man. So the heart of a wife, the heart of a, the Bible says, he who finds a wife. It doesn't say woman. We know that. That means there's a posture that makes someone wife. A posture. And I was telling someone the other day, I was telling them what you need is favor. Sometimes you don't need to pray for money. Sometimes you don't need to pray for job. What you need is favor. And favor will usher things into you. And they asked me, how do you get favor? I said, one of the first things, one of the first ways, the Bible says, he who finds a wife. So I was telling them, what you need, sir, is just to get married. There is just a near default. Please understand that the favor is attached to a wife. Not to every woman, to a wife. That's why it says he who finds a wife. That's why if the covenant of marriage is broken, there is a certain favor that the man no longer has. Can we touch this some other time? Okay, I hear someone thinking, saying, "Ah, man, let's time is going. Go back to principalities." Oh, praise the Lord! Okay, and from previous sharings, where I was telling you, that's why the enemy focuses a lot on the lady, because you need to understand that I've taught this before, that in the Old Testament there were three offices. The king, the priest, and the prophet. In a house, the man is mainly king and priest. The woman is prophetic. Women naturally. The world calls it intuition, but a woman is naturally prophetic. Okay? That's why it is actually amazing to find a lady who says, "Me, I don't believe in the prophetic." So what has happened? What has happened in this time and age is that the devil has tried to distort a family. So what he does, he either gets two women together. And so what you're doing is that you have a household where the only the prophetic but the king and priest is missing. And yet when God is going to communicate a law into a household is the first level of territory, by the way. It's the first place of territory. It's the first place the enemy tries to take over. That's why if you notice through scripture, the Bible says Joshua 24, he says, "As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." He doesn't go to ask them, "By the way, do you guys believe in the Lord?" As long as you're under me. Yeah. Are you with me? So the first territory is the household. So you have two women coming together. You have a house full of prophetic people, but no king or priest. When two men get together, there's no prophetic action. And so the whole thing is distorted. And the enemy's major issue, listen, even as I go back to principalities, we shall touch on ladies another day, and men another day, and households and patterns and all those things. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. Now, I was saying that principalities use men. To capture territories, they often will start with the household of that man. Then they will grow. Now, please understand, I told you that when they're looking for people to take over, principalities, when they're looking for people to take over, they look for people with rank, especially people who are prophetic. The Bible says, God is always saying, "Touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm." It's always the prophetic thing. Jesus comes, he stands before Jerusalem, and scripture says, he said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed my prophets." And he's not just talking about prophets who came. He's not just talking about prophets who came, preached like Jeremiah, and people tortured them. He's talking about even those who were born prophets but were killed. He's talking about those who are prophetic but the enemy manipulated. Lord have mercy. So the principality looks out for the prophetic. The higher the rank, the greater the influence. Because in the spirit, let me break this down. When someone is ranked spiritually, they have a certain level of influence both in the natural and in the spirit. That means someone is born and somehow in the spirit they have 2 million people they're supposed to reach. That's why the enemy tried to kill Moses, because Moses had 2 million people he was going to lead out of. Come on. That's why he tries to kill Jesus, because Jesus has an entire planet. Doesn't go after Elijah when Elijah is born. We don't even know Elijah's story. Why? Because Elijah never had a congregation. The enemy has limited resources. Because he has limited resources, he will reach the rest, the people this person is supposed to reach. He first hits the top. That's why, take me to John 17 verse 19. John 17, and says, Jesus says, "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth." In other words, there was a sanctification that came by Jesus, and anyone under him got sanctified. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is rank, where someone at the top gets something and anyone under them, it flows. The Bible says, listen, Jesus is speaking to Simon Peter. He says, Peter, Peter, Simon, Simon, actually. He doesn't say Cephas. Simon, Simon, the devil has desired to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that you might not, your faith might fail you. But when you come back, strengthen your brethren. Strengthen them? I thought it's only Simon failing. That means if you're strengthening the brethren, they also must have fallen. But the enemy was looking for Peter. Why? Because he's a leader. He has rank. And so if Peter fails, everyone else under him goes. So he looks for rank. He looks specifically for people who are prophetic. That's what principalities do. Now the moment they pick a person, they teach the person, train the person in divination. They train a person in divination, in cursing, so that they can extend their territory. Balaam is a serious example of what happens. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, I think chapter 8 verse 13, king is a place of rank. It says, a king's word goeth forth with power. So here he is, and you see, this is what the enemy does. He has no authority on earth except the authority, the degree of the authority the person he's possessing has. So then he gets a chap, confuses him. Limit, every witch doctor, every wizard was a prophet in making. The enemy does not just go for everyone. Does not just go around looking and say, you, come and join me, come and join me. Strategic, he's looking for rank. Are you with me? That's how territories are gained. And I'm really summarizing this. I have to summarize it because of time. So we have those principalities. When you have principalities, then you come down to what the Bible... I'm going to skip powers for today. When territory has been gained, then it creates room for the next. Who are the next? Apart from powers. It says principalities, powers. It says rulers. The rulers of darkness of this age, and I know what they are. Rulers there, identified as magistrates, lawmakers. Lord have mercy. Once a principality has captured territory, then rulers of darkness come in. Now what they come in is they create atmospheres. They possess people. The people they possess are wise men, warlocks. Okay? Now I'm going to tell you what this is. Because, some things I'll not tell you. Now, these guys that are got up, let me use scripture. Let me use scripture. Because the enemy uses wise men. If you look through scripture, Daniel and Moses both had issues with wise men. Huh? Daniel and both Moses. Moses goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh calls his wise men. In the ancient times, please understand, in the ancient times that the people who ruled the territory were not the kings. It was the wise men. That's why whenever there was trouble, they called the wise men and said, what should they do? Those wise men who had behind them rulers of darkness, they were able to look at the stars and navigate seasons. They knew when the next move spiritually was going to happen. They were the true rulers. And by the way, that's what's happening in most nations. Now, Lord have mercy. Are you getting what I'm saying? So now, these rulers of darkness, these wise men operate by power because there are spirits behind them. If you look through scripture, the Bible says, Exodus 12 and verse 12. The Bible says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, this is God speaking, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. Yet we don't see God meeting the gods. When I was here, I told you that all the 10 judgments were judgments against the 10 gods that Egyptians had. The highest god was Pharaoh. That's why his son had to die. Take me to Exodus 8, verse 19. The Spirit has told me. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord has said. Now this is important. These magicians and wise men are the ones actually truly ruling, because they have spiritual power. They are the ones who tell a king what to do. And this happens in nations. Those presidents that you see, those chaps that you see, it's either divine or demonic. No one enters a realm of power neutrally. So they enter a place. Now here's what happens. According to those wise men, those white men, their desire is to spread darkness across a territory that has been held by a principality. Now, this is important you understand that at a certain point here, scripture, in Egypt, these magicians were the ones holding the territory. But then that scripture that I've just read, the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. They come to Pharaoh and they say, oh, we have met our match. This is actually the finger of God. They're advising Pharaoh to give up. The moment the wise men of a land give up, know that there's been a change in authority in the land. I'm speaking. Now, I am speaking to this nation. Yeah? Yeah? Because the covering that was keeping the Pharaoh there was now fallen. That's why the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers. You understand what I'm talking about? Okay, those are rulers of darkness. Eh? We shall get here. Now, quickly, when the rulers of darkness have gained a territory, they give room, they create an atmosphere for spiritual wickedness in high places. Those spiritual wickedness in high places now are the ones who multiply evil. Please understand, you will find on the face of this earth where if you go, there's racism. But there were rulers of darkness that set a law. Here, racism happens. There are areas on the face of this earth where poverty is beyond normal. There are places on the face of this earth where terrorism is the heartbeat. By the way, the name Hamas means violence. What you name yourself is what you become. Oh, Lord. So this spiritual wickedness in high places, these things come. Now, which brings me to the most important thing, then we'll close. I'm really summarizing this. The reason I brought you all this is for you to understand now the truth of it all, that men need to learn to pray, because the answer to witches is an intercessor. In the spirit, let me tell you now, just like witches dispense the rule of the enemy in a territory, intercessors dispense the rule of God in a territory. Let me explain what intercession is. And this is why I was telling you, that's why I started by, you must press in. Because you see, every man can pray. That's fine. But there are ranks even in intercession. There are ranks even in intercession. And the desire of the Lord is that you might become a fashion person who intercedes, that you might become a businessman who intercedes. Intercession is carrying the burden of God for a place. Intercessors, it's different from just being a person who prays. Let me tell you a spiritual rule. Consistency attracts grace. If you don't prophesy and you consistently try to, you will attract the grace to prophesy. If you don't know how to pray and you continually push in, consistency attracts the grace to pray. Are you with me? So now, intercessors, a notch higher than your normal prayer person, intercessors are God's answers to witches. Huh? When an intercessor is in the land, let me give you an example. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 13 to 14. God is complaining. Huh? Get me to verse 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they should deliver but their own souls. Now he's talking about these men. He's mentioning these men because they have a rank in intercession. And he's saying, what this nation has done, even if these three seniors showed up, he doesn't mention David, doesn't what? He mentions Noah, Daniel, and Job. They have a certain rank. They are ranked. They are people who are pressed in, and God says, oh my God, you've sought me. So they are intercessors. Now listen, these three are intercessors, but there's a rank above them. Because Jeremiah 15 verse 1, take me there. I want to finish. Jeremiah 15 verse 1. It says, then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind could not be toward these people. Now Moses and Samuel are in a different league from the other two guys. These guys come and speak and tell God to change him, change God's mind. And that's why the Lord then brings them up. Moses and Samuel. Actually, 1 Samuel 7:13 says of Samuel, a chief man. It says, as long as Samuel was in Israel, the Philistines couldn't attack. One man. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Okay, the NIV says as long as Samuel was alive. That means as long as someone, one man is in a nation like this, nothing can move. I'm telling you, rank. So their intercessors, people who God, who carry a burden and walk under an open heaven, they speak God's will on earth. But then above them are what we call watchers. Watchers are two-dimensional. They are watchers who are spiritual beings, but then they are watchers who are men. I don't have time to. But you see, Daniel was one of them. That's why, if you look through scripture, take me back to Daniel 2:19. These two men, Moses and Samuel, they're watchers. They watch. Nothing happens in the nation without them knowing. Nothing. They have authority over a nation, anything that is coming in, anything that the enemy is doing. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible says of Daniel, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. I think it's this. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I think it's 29. Oh, you look for it. Oh, for thee, king, thy thoughts came unto thy mind upon thy bed. Are you learning something? This might not be relevant to someone here today, but I guarantee you, it's actually 249, at a certain point in time, it will. And it says, then Daniel requested of the king. Now, Daniel has interpreted something. The king wants to bless him. Daniel requested of the king and says, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province. The king wants to make Daniel a prince. Daniel refuses. What does he want? The Bible says, but Daniel sat at the gate. That's a watcher. Amen. The guy just says, man, you make these guys princes. Me, I'm at the gate. Hey, you guys, you're just joking, man. Actually, the Bible says of Abraham, it says he was sitting at a gate and saw three men coming. That's rank in the spirit. There are only two people in heaven now that have the name Father. God the Father and Father Abraham. That's a rank. No other person in eternity will ever be called Father apart from those two. Hey, you guys. That's a rank in the spirit. That's why you find that the day Jesus, the Son of God, when he came and became a man, he had to subdue himself. He had to be under Abraham. Actually, as long as Jesus was a man on earth, Abraham outranked him. But when he died and resurrected, he became Lord of all. Listen, here's the spiritual law. If I can see you before you're born, I outrank you. That's why a father, parents outrank their child. I saw you before you existed. I decided to create you. Ah, my God. That one we should use for our children. Eh? I decided to. Then I saw you born. As long as someone saw you coming into existence, they have a level of rank until you find your call. Now, the same is true of Abraham. Jesus says, he says, your father Abraham saw my day. He saw Jesus' day on earth. And as long as he was on earth, Abraham was a father. Jesus himself says father. But listen, the Bible says he dies, resurrects, and is Lord of all. Amen. Seated in heavenly places. There are ranks in the spirit. Abraham himself was a watcher. Actually, higher than that, the highest place in the spirit beyond a watcher is the place of a judge. Spiritual. So, listen. There's a person who prays, the many of you who are here. There's an intercessor. You can be called for it, but you can grow into it. There is a watcher who has a certain level over an authority, over a territory. Then there is a judge. Judges don't need to consult God. He just shows up. He says, there'll be no rain, but at my word. Did you hear him asking God? Actually, at the judge level is the place where God comes to Abraham and he says, can I do anything without revealing it to my friend Abraham? That's a judge level. God comes and then he even lets you make your decision. There was a man on this earth called Archbishop Benson Idahosa. Witches wanted to have something in Benin, a conference, many of you know. And he said, now I'm the one telling you there's no conference, not God. Huh? I am the one. That's a judge. Hey, your guy. A person having grown in rank, that a territory, he speaks And something, God actually, listen, that's why authority in itself has to come as a result of intimacy. Because the moment a person like that speaks, God is bound to fulfill what they say. He will rebuke them later. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is telling you that there is something happening in this nation. But we need to rise up and join in. You need to be more than just an apostle, more than just a worship leader, more than just a person who sits. You must press in into the things of the Spirit so that God can say, come my child, I show you what is happening. Then you realize that deepest places of prayer are beyond need. Let me tell you, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, the Bible talks about Anna and Simeon. They prayed for... Actually, Anna is interesting to me because scripture says she stayed in the temple fasting and praying on the issue of Christ. Yes? Then Simeon, an old man, scripture says for him, when he finally saw, God had told him that he would not die until he does so. You understand? Okay? This lady and this man, they had had an experience with the Holy Ghost. They had a place of intimacy where God tells them, listen, I'm bringing my son. But not only am I bringing him, you are going to hold them. They're amongst the very few people on earth who can say they held Jesus while he was a baby, knowing who he was. You're with me? So, here's the thing. Prayer, because Anna prayed and fasted for the coming of Jesus. Anna, don't you have needs? 40 years or something. Anna, aren't you praying for a car? Anna, don't you need food? Anna, don't you need... Do you know this is how the Lord had created this? And this is where I pray that you press in. This is how results come. That when you move and grow in faith, the things that you need can be commanded. They don't need to be prayed for. They can be commanded. They do not need to be prayed for. The highest place now of prayer is what I was talking about. Is the place where a man now tries to tap into the mind of God and bring what is in God's mind onto earth. Heaven on earth. That is the true element of what prayer is supposed to be. Intercession, capturing the mind of God. We must grow. We must grow. And so, I'll say this finally. That I told you that power comes through three things. It comes first through intimacy, secondly through mastery, and lastly through sitting under a covering. But you need to understand that Anna and Simeon, Anna especially, prayed for years for the coming of Jesus. But the Bible says that there were some wise men. They weren't fasting, they weren't praying. They just looked in the Spirit, saw a star, and knew Jesus was born. Something someone was praying for. Lord, have mercy. For you, you're just sitting somewhere and you see it and you connect. The shepherds are even worse. The shepherds are even worse. They were chilling at night with sheep, and an angel comes and does homework for them. Now, those are all levels, but please understand that there is a place where, take the wise men, a man could have mastered principles and knows how to read the stars, read things. But a man, irrespective of the fact that the others kept without fasting, without waiting years, Anna and Simeon outrank them because of intimacy. An angel did not tell Anna, it was the Holy Ghost. Huh? A star did not tell Simeon, it was the Holy Ghost. You need a personal encounter with God. You need to press in.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolowi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.